I'll introduce myself. I am a mighty woman of God. I am, and you know what? I've stayed at this bed and breakfast, and the lady who is in charge of it walked by the bathroom, and she said she heard me talking to myself going, "You are marvelously and wonderfully made, Robin. You are a child of the Most High King." And I was talking to myself in the mirror, just telling myself, you know, I am. We are. That's what the Word of God says. And a lot of times we don't tell ourselves that. We mirror ourselves poorly. And we can't be that way because that's not what God's called us to be. And so my name is Robin Tom Rogers. I was born in a little town called Potgietersrus, which is 50 miles outside of Johannesburg, South Africa. I am a black albino. No, I'm not. Everybody always says, "You're from Africa, you should be black. Why aren't you black?" And I thought, when I first came to America, I thought, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard, because I was 14 and I knew everything then. Then I got married and found out I didn't know nothing. And, sure. So anyway, I was born and raised in Africa until I was 15, and I'm here, and I'm going to stop there, because if I go into that, it's a longer story than you want to hear tonight. And let me tell you, I got stories to tell. There's such a sweetness of His presence. There is just such a sweetness. I never know what I'm going to do. I always ask the Lord. I move differently than a lot of people. If you're expecting a nice old gray cup of tea, I'm going to tell you right now, you're getting brisk. Because I don't work that way. In fact, if I knew how I was going to work, I would probably be so excited. But God told me if I knew everything that He was going to do in the meetings and what He was going to do in my life, I probably wouldn't show up to half of it. Because you see, His wonders and His mysteries are beyond our natural comprehension. And what He can do with you will expound you, will blow you out of the limitations of your mind. You can't imagine what He can do. It exceeds all your very thoughts and everything you've ever been taught. Because it's Him, you see, it's not you. I stepped out full-time in the ministry 2 years ago. I ran from God for years. I did not want to go in the ministry. I had been in the ministry with my father. I had seen what it was to walk in the might and power of God. But I had also not had the vision my father had. And one day something happened to me. Phew. Can I get my water? I feel like I'm in Australia with all this coffee. I have to tell you about it. But I don't want to get off the track. We'll have a moment for hugging. Hugging break. Oh. I want to read a scripture because the Lord told me. I never start out this way. In fact, I never know how I start out, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read this scripture. It's Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to all this? This is the Amplified version. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, not just one of us, but all of us. Oh. Will He not also with Him freely and graciously give us other things? That's called a little bit of a revelation that pops out at your spirit when you're reading the Word of God. A lot of people say they read the Word of God, they don't get nothing. Well, just look at that. He who gave His Son will also give us other things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? When it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to Himself, who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Well, Christ, the Messiah who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation or calamity and distress or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. At the age of 30 years old, and I'm only 40 now, I had absolutely become very disillusioned at the ministry. And it wasn't because anything the ministry had done to me, it was because I had allowed my flesh to become very weak. I had allowed myself to get out of the Word of God. I had allowed myself all of a sudden to become somebody I didn't know and didn't like and was very I hated myself. I never in my life walked in such loneliness and such despair. And what happened was, I grew up under an anointing that you couldn't even imagine in this hour, because now it's even greater anointings, but that was that anointing for that hour. And I grew up where I saw the blind see and I saw the deaf hear. I watched babies with club feet turn around in an instant as the name of Jesus was spoken. I watched people who were demon-possessed totally set free in seconds. I watched things that a lot of people, I thought it was an everyday occurrence in everybody's life, that they saw the manifested power of God. Because you see, I grew up in a family where we lived, breathed, and talked Jesus and acted it out. I would get up and go with my father in the middle of the night. We would get up and would start packing. And it was a long journey across bush fields in Africa. And I'll never forget how many times and how many hard-boiled eggs we cooked, because there was no McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken along the way. It's called the mission field. And I'll never forget how many chickens we cooked. I'll never forget how many sandwiches we made and how we took the wonderful tin cans and filled them full of food and how many apples and oranges we peeled along the road to eat as snacks along the way, because back then they didn't have Frito-Lays. It wasn't like that. In fact, I didn't have television until 1976 in South Africa. So I remember all of that, and it makes an impression on your spirit, you know, because you get a touch of the Spirit of God, the presence of God. And I remember many times we would go into places that a lot of people wouldn't go, and many times we would get a lot of opposition. People would say, well, you can't do this here, and you can't do that there. And you say, well, what kind of opposition? Well, let me give you a clue. I remember one time my dad, and I'm not here to talk about my dad tonight. I'm going to tell you what God's doing in my life, but I can't tell you about my life unless you tell you something about the greatest man of God that I ever knew, and that was my father. My father believed with a faith that I had never seen anybody believe with, even to this day, except myself, I think, right now, because I'm walking in a mighty faith. I really believe. I know. I know that I know that I know that he's with me, that he's anointed me, that he's appointed me. I know. And it's not that I'm going around tooting my own horn. I'm going around tooting the horn of Jesus Christ, because I know that he's alive. And I know that this is a year of salvation. And I've said that, but I'm telling you, it's a year of creative miracles. There is a deluge of God's anointing that's going to baffle the minds of scientists. I'll tell you that this night. What I saw then was incredible. Going into a village to go preach, and the Zulu chief said, you can't preach, and we haven't had rain in 3 months. You pray for your God to bring rain, and then you could preach. And I watched as my father would take his London fog coat off and put it on the Zulu chief's shoulders. And he'd say, what's this for? He said, so it'll keep you dry when it rains. It's getting ready to rain. And I remember 3 days after that, the Zulu chief come knocking on our little tent door out in the middle of nowhere. and saying, could you please pray it stops raining because it's flooding now. Isn't that incredible? I remember at the age of 4 years old going to a farm in the middle of nowhere and preaching to the farmers and everybody else in that area. And I remember the farmer said this to me. He said, you go up on the mountain and you pick any kind of sheep or lamb you want, and I will give it to you. It'll be yours. And I thought that was the greatest thing. And I went out, and I remember the story of the lamb without spot or blemish, and I picked the lamb I wanted. I remember taking that lamb and showing it to my father so proudly and to my brothers. And I remember that the farmer, on the day we got ready to leave, brought me my lamb wrapped in a newspaper, bleeding. And I couldn't believe it, because in my mind, I honestly thought I was getting a pet lamb. But the farmer was giving us a lamb to eat. And I'll never forget, and I can look back now and see how God had provision in a time of need. But yet I didn't see it that way. Will you say provision for the table? No, even better than that. Even as Jesus died on the cross, he was provision that God gave for us to have life. God provided a lamb for us, because when we left that farm, we were going down a road, and I'll never forget, I was crying. I'm very soft-hearted. I'm very sensitive to the Spirit. And I was crying, and I was saying, I want my lamb, I want my lamb. And I was very spoiled, too. I was perfect. Daddy said I was perfect. Got married and found out I wasn't perfect. And I remember coming to a place in the road where there were lions, and they were sunbathing. And they wouldn't move. And I heard my father say to my mother, he said, Joyce, the five boys are in the back of the open bed truck, and if we don't move, those lions are going to jump in the back there and eat them up. And I remember thinking, I don't care if they eat them up. They had tormented me long enough. And then all of a sudden, I heard the rustling of a newspaper. And I remember watching my father take that lamb that God had provided for that moment and start throwing it as far as the eye could see, and the lions getting up and running after it and moving out of the road so we could go on. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the God I'm speaking about is not dead, that what happened back then was not just for then, that the charismatic movement has moved on, that the eras of revival you've heard on, they've been there and they've been good, but they're past. But we are now standing in an abundance of rain, that the power of God is pouring down upon the nations as we have never beheld. For there is awakening in the spirit of man, that there's an anticipation within their hearts, that they know that there is more than what's going on in the churches in this hour. That there has to be more. They're hungry for the anointing. They're hungry for the demonstration of the power of God. They're hungry to see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob move as it did for the people of Israel, as it's done for missionaries who have come and gone and come back to tell us what they saw God do. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't just move in Africa, that God moves in America, that God moves in Greece, that God moves in Turkey, that God moves in the Far Eastern countries, that God moves and he reigns across the northern lands, the southern lands, the European lands, that my God, he is the reigner that is pouring down in abundance of his power, that is awakening the hearts of people to behold him for who he is and for what he is doing and has done. God has put a message within me to go forth into the nations and to stir up the hearts of the people, that the hour is short, that the hour is short, that he would not that you tarry, but that you would seek him as never before. Never before in my life have I felt such a hunger. Never before in my life have I felt such an awareness of the Spirit of God. And I walked in anointings. I saw the demonstrations of the power of God. But I'm telling you, there's something going on. And I could tell you what it is. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back very shortly. We've heard it preached about, but I'm telling you, get ready. I asked the Lord recently, about a year and a half ago, I was in a meeting, and I was watching people laughing and crying and weeping. I said, God, what is going on? Why are they doing this? The Lord said, I'm having a bridal shower. I said, a bridal shower? He said, every time they're laughing and crying and weeping, he said, there's people in the church that have become stagnant with old garments. Garments of hurt and criticism, disappointment. It's true. I'm just telling it like it is. I was one of them. And he said this. He said, I'm having a garment, a bridal shower. And he said, I'm putting on my children garments of joy unspeakable, of purity, of holiness, of righteousness. I'm enlarging the gates of the vision once again to see me and behold me for who I am. He said, I am showing forth myself in signs and wonders because this is the hour of the day of the Lord. And I'm preparing my church for the time when I shall return. 10 years ago, I walked in at the age of 30 years old. I knew in my spirit, you can't understand, I got married and I got out of the will of God. Not by marrying, but because I got my eyes on myself and on my situation. I never had to go through trials. Daddy had gone through all those. I lived on Daddy's skirt tail, or shirt tail, forgive me, he didn't wear a skirt. Unless he was in a fur, no. But I lived in his vision. And then he died. And it seemed like the enemy came in and said, well, it's over now. He's dead. What are you going to do? And I had never known anything but to travel the world and be in the ministry. And here I was alone in America, the youngest of 10 children, and didn't know what to do except I was getting married in 3 months because God sent somebody to marry me. I had prayed for it on Tuesday and got it on Thursday. And I knew it. I mean, I knew it, the hour. I knew it. But for the first time in my life, I had to face God for myself like I'd never faced Him before. And something happened inside of me. I fell away from the Word of God. I fell away from the vision that He placed within my spirit. And I got caught up in life, my life. I thought, well, I can do it this way. Now, nobody's going to tell me when I have to go to church on Sunday morning. Nobody's going to say you have to do this. Nobody has to say that. Before I knew it, I felt like I was walking around just embalmed with bitterness and disappointment and hurt. Insecurity, you couldn't imagine. Rejection, you couldn't imagine. And here you're talking to somebody. I'm talking about somebody who was every other day going up to West Virginia to be with Pat Robinson on the 700 Club, was with Dima Shakarian, was with all the greatest men and women of God, but yet hadn't a clue who they were because it was just a part of our lives. And then 10 years ago, I walked into a meeting. I heard my brother had a man of God in his church, and I honestly thought my brother had an occult. And I'd heard about him. I'd heard about how these guys, they go off, you know, when they get older. And my brother's been in the ministry for 50 years. My brother's 24 years older than me. Started when he was 17. And I'll never forget. I thought, oh, I got to go help Drummond. I got to straighten him out. Backslidden as the day I was born. And I was going to go help my brother out. But you see, the gifts of God are given without repentance. God never takes them back without recompense. He never takes them back. And they're always burning in you. You might try and outrun away from God, but you can never outrun His love. In all those years, there was always a time that God brought somebody in my sight that I had to minister to, or I had to tell about Jesus, because you can't bottle up what God's put in within you. The enemy might come and try and distract and put blinders on your eyes, but God's always there, and He's always going, Robin. Boy, had I got that door shut tight. Because I thought, don't ever think. Lean not to your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him. And I walked into a meeting at my brother's church, and I thought, oh my Lord, Drummond's really got an occult. These people aren't supposed to be laughing. They're not supposed to be rolling on the floor. This is not the way God did it when I was growing up. Who are we to reason out the mysteries and the ways of God? And all I know is that my flesh rose within me, and I had to get out of there. Because you see, when the glory of God is in the house and you walk into it, your flesh draws back. It can't stand to be in the presence of God. It wants out, and it wants out now. And boy, I was turned around. I took off for that door. And all I remember saying to my brother's deacon was, what's that man's going to do next? He's going to bring out snakes from somewhere? And I ran out the door. Forget helping Drummond get out of the occult he had got in. I was leaving. The enemy knew his hour was at hand. The next night, I came back and I sat in the second back row. And I can only tell you this. Rodney Howard Brown saw me sitting back there. And he said this. He said, you back there, come back, come up here and let me pray for you. And I did something I had never, ever done in my entire life. I said, no, thank you. And when I said that, my daddy had always told me that the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, that he'll never embarrass you. Well, I've learned something. The Holy Spirit's going to get a hold of you. The Holy Spirit's going to get a hold of you. It's the only time I ever caught my father probably in a lie or not telling it right. Because the Holy Spirit is going to awaken you. That's what he's here for. He's your comforter. He is the divine appointment that you have with God. He brings forth that which God would have you to know and to hear, because that's what the Word of God says. He imparts unto you the mysteries of God through the revelation of his Word. And I'll never forget, here I was, and I said, no, thank you. And Rodney Howard Brown said, well, then I'll come back there and get you. And nobody had ever said that to me before in church. Wish that somebody had said that to me before in church. And all I know is that the next thing I knew when he said that, the flesh that was, it was starting to just, like a prune, I could just feel it drawing in. I could just feel it. I could just feel. And all I know is those demons of oppression, those demons of rejection, those spirits of lies that have tormented me, that had just driven me out of the limitations of my mind at times, they started just on my skin. It was like sizzle. I could smell it. And the next thing I knew, as I sat there, something picked me up out of the seat. And if you think it was a demon throwing me across the room, let me tell you, it was not a demon. The Spirit of God picked me up out of my seat. You say, well, how do you know it? Because nothing so sweet could come from the enemy. Because when it picked me up out of the seat, it laid me on the floor. And when I hit the floor, it was like somebody took liquid gold or hot oil and poured it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet and into my belly. And for the first time since my father was alive, I felt that anointing, but even in a greater dimension. And out of my belly there did come forth rivers of living water. I understood the nine gifts of the Spirit like I had never understood them. Oh, man, you couldn't imagine what went on. And I lay there on fire. And all I know is that Jesus touched me. He touched me. He touched me. And it wasn't anything I did. It wasn't anything or formula that anybody else had done. It was just I was sitting in a pew, come to straighten somebody out, didn't even say the sinner's prayer, and the power of God got a hold of me. And I'm here to tell you that you're standing a day and time where people are going to be walking down the streets. They're not even going to have anybody tell them about Jesus, because the Spirit of God is going to arrest their spirit, and they're going to know that there is a God, that the Jesus that was talked about through the ages is alive and well, that no longer in a grave, but risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God turned my life around. He turned it so radically around in that hour that for 3 months I sat in Rodney's meetings, not because of the man, but because I was so hungry. I wanted to suck the anointing out of him. I wanted everything he had, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt he had a ministry. I knew he was of God. I knew that what God was going to do with this man was going to be beyond the limitations of people's mind, because I walked in a mantle that my father gave me. And it was the prophetic. And I knew the voice of God. The only thing is, when my father was around, nobody went around saying, I'm a prophet, because the gift will make a way for you. And nobody tells what office they're walking in. That's what I was told. But I found out since then that, devil, get ready, because you don't know what's getting ready to come forth out of my life and out of other people's lives that God's bringing me in the path of. There has to be tenacity. There has to be arrogance. There has to be boldness. But at the same time, there can be a sweetness. There can be a softness that speaks forth Jesus. And watch as the person is set free. But you see, what there has to be is that each believer knows the authority they have as believers, as the children of God. And the church is not teaching the authority. I'm here to tell you. They're speaking about the 10 sermons to the 10 wives to the 10 ways. And some of it is very good what they're doing. But there's a lot of people that have become stuck on sucking on spiritual pacifier scriptures. They only can go as far as John 3:16. They don't know there's a wealth of revelation in this word. They don't understand that there is more. That God has not sugarcoated this word, that there is absolute life in the intense midst of this word. It's not just something that you say, but it's life that you speak. He said, I sent the word and I healed them. And each time I open this word, I get excited because God's given me another revelation. I was just reading it just the other day. I was telling Trish, I think it was yesterday. And I got all excited. And it was just a simple little thing, but it was exciting because you know when you're walking in the ministry, the enemy tries everything he can to distract, but he tries everything he can to bring you down. Oh, I'll be in hotel rooms and I hear this. You're so lonely, Robin. You're all alone in this room. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not. I know that it seems at that moment because it's hard. I mean, it's not easy being in the ministry. There is a cross that you're walking with. You're walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there are things you have to walk through. There are places you have to go that a lot of times you don't want to go, but the Spirit of God says you have to go. There are words that I have spoken and absolutely refused to speak, and for 20 minutes I babbled like a stupid person until finally I've said, okay, God, I'll speak it, and I've spoken it, and the power of God has just broken forth in the place, and it probably was one of the worst judgments I'd ever heard come out of my mouth. But it broke the place open. And you never know what you speak and what it's doing. I remember one time I was in South Point, Idaho, just this last year, and that was the first time I'd ever had to give a word of judgment. And it was a whole new ball game for me. And I said, oh, God, you can't want me to say that in this church. And the minute I started speaking it, because I couldn't get anywhere until I spoke it, the minute I was obedient and spoke it, there was a Church of God pastor in the back, and he started weeping and bawling. Because it was exactly what God had given him in a dream 2 nights before that he had to do. See, we don't know the mysteries of God. But let me tell you, each day we see the mysteries unfold. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. God gave me the scripture. Well, he gave it to me. I was reading. I got all excited about it, and I told Trish about it, and I was so excited to talk about. I remember I spoke last night in West Houston, and I got tickled because it was the first time I'd ever thought about it. I honestly thought I had so many words. I have been prophesied over by the best of them. I must have had 1,000 or more words in my lifetime. And I honestly thought these people prophesied on me so much. God must think I'm his last hope because I got so many words, you know. I mean, I was young, and I honestly got convinced. So when I didn't get my way with God, I honestly would say, well, God, if you don't do so-and-so, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it, God. I mean, I honestly would talk to God like that. And people say, you can't talk to God like that. Well, why not? You talk to your parents like that. Haven't you done something? Or talk to your husband like that? And you got some attention out of it, didn't you? It may not have been the attention you wanted, but you got some attention out of it. There was a result that came forth. May not have been positive, but it happened. And I got so many words. And I remember I was worded to till I was blue in the face. And I remember I was standing in Louisville, Kentucky one night, and I was in this little thing called Robin's Nest. It was what I had put together for myself. And I was mad at God because things weren't going the way I wanted them to go. And there was a big disappointment that had happened in my life. And I didn't realize God was doing something with me. All I realized was I was in the midst of that situation, and I didn't like it. And he better do something. He better do something now. Because, you see, my faith was that God could do it, and God should do it. Because my daddy said, you just ask your Heavenly Father, and it shall be done. And, I mean, so here I sat in this room, and I started stomping my feet. And I started throwing things against the wall, and I started gritting my teeth. And I'll never forget this man of God coming in. And the God had just spoken right after. He said, Robin, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to send my man servant in, my prophet, and he's going to give you a word. And I said, well, why can't you speak to me yourself, Lord? I want you to speak directly. I'm tired of hearing all the words. He said, I'm going to send my prophet. He said, Robin, there's times I've spoken to you and you wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't hear it because you were trying to reason it out in your own mind. And he said, I'm going to send my man servant. He's going to give you confirmation of the word I'm speaking to you right now. So I knew it. So I went to the meeting that night and I sat there. And the man of God come up to me and he said, you already know. God's already told you. And he said, thus saith the Lord, many are called, but few are chosen. He said, I've chosen you to be a handmaiden to be used in this last day and time. He said, but I want you to know that I have seen them when thou hast stomped thy foot and thrown thy wares against the wall and gnashed thy teeth. And I had just done that. I mean, just done it. This guy had no clue. And I mean, God literally sees you. He does. And so last night I got real tickled because I thought, you know, honestly, I had all these words. And I finally said to my dad one day, I said, Daddy, everybody in the world is trying to prophesy over me and calling me in ministry this, ministry that. God speaks to me in visions and dreams. When's it going to happen? And you know what he told me? The most incredible wisdom I ever heard from this man was this. Forget your ministry. Forget the words they've given you. Forget everything except one thing. Love the Lord with all your heart. And as you love the Lord, he already is loving you. But as you love him, you will start developing the character of Christ. And as you develop the character of Christ, you take on the mind of Christ. And as you take on the mind of Christ, you start speaking like Christ. You start speaking in the authority that he speaks in. You start speaking the word of God from your belly because you know it's life within you. You start doing that, Robin. And he said, watch as your character unfolds and the ministry falls into place. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I've gone through some tough times in my life. But I tell you what, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Because I thought the worst times of my life were the worst. And I can look back now at those times and say it was a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half is yet to be told. Because I know that I know that I know that I know that there's more. There's more. There's more. There's places I'm going to go, and there's people I'm going to speak to, and there's deliverances I'm going to see, and there's healings I'm going to behold, because it's not me. It's the King of Kings who's speaking through me. And this is not just for me, folks. I'm not just preaching about myself tonight. I'm preaching about you because you are witnesses unto all the earth. You are messengers. You are flaming servants of fire. Ministering servants of fire is what the word of God says. And if you're sitting in a wilderness right now, let me tell you this. Look at this. And even if you're facing it, look what he said, Moses. Moses couldn't see himself speaking. So he asked God for Aaron. When I first stepped out 2 years ago, a man of God didn't even know me. He said this to me. He said, I got to just quickly put it in because I just know, I just got to say this. He said this, he said, God says you've asked, let this ministry, you've promoted this ministry, you've promoted this one. You've said, you've called churches up and said, you need to use this one, you need to use that one. And God said, you will not do that. He said, Moses did that to me. He asked for another mouthpiece. He said, you're my mouthpiece. I'll not give you another mouthpiece to go and speak. You go and speak the word that I placed within you. It's true. And listen what it says. It says in Exodus 16:10, and as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of Israel, he was speaking to the whole congregation. I am speaking to the nations. I know I am. That's the call of God. And it says this, and they looked towards the wilderness. They looked in the wilderness. They saw the wilderness standing right before them. I know ministers right now that know they're looking at wilderness things in front of them. They're looking at finances that they're sitting there going, God, my vision is larger than my pocketbook. But they know that their Heavenly Father, he is the God that supplies their every need and has and is doing it. But it seems like if you're looking at wilderness experiences in front of you, let me tell you this. And then look towards the wilderness and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The glory of the Lord was in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness. So if you're going through things, keep on going. Don't worry about it. I've been there, done that. The glory of the Lord. And then God told me, he's told me so much stuff, I get so excited because I'm one of those people, I want to tell it all at once. I take sermons and put it all in one, it's like a pizza sermon. You know, I don't know anybody else who could have done that, Brother Cam. I'm sure you have. But it's like, because I get excited at the revelation, I want to share it because I keep thinking, well, I'm not going back, I may not be get back there for a while, I need to tell it all right now. And so I'll tell you two more. Just as long as the Lord will let me tell those two more. Oh, the other thing, they called the bread manna. Do you know what my Bible says? Listen to this. When the Israelites saw it, it says this, in the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the camp. And when the dew had gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a fine, round, and flake-like thing as fine as hoarfrost on the ground. And when the Israelites saw it, they said one to another, manna, which means, what is this? What is it? That's what manna meant. They were saying, manna, what is it? For they did not know what it was, is what the Bible says. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given to you to eat. Don't you know what is it that God has given you? You don't know yet what it is because there is so much more in it. Isn't that exciting? The Israelites didn't even know. But manna, what is it? It's more than you could even surpass to think. It's more. And you know, if you go down to 31, it says, in the house of Israel called the bread manna. Because what is it? It's the bread. It was the life that gave them life. And that's what the word is. It's manna. It's our sustenance. Isn't that exciting? That was another revelation, Trish. It was good, too. I get so excited. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I could go on. But God just, and people say they can't get nothing out of the Word of God. Well, my Lord. He told them, he said, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at the Mount Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massa, which means proof, and in Meribah, contention, because of the fault finding of the Israelites, and because they tempted and tried the patience of the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Well, let me tell you something. I've walked in that way. I've walked in it where I've been contentious and saying, God, are you doing this? Or are you doing that? And there's people in the body of Christ who's doing that too. But I'm here to tell you that tonight God's going to break those chains of contention off of you. God's going to break it off of you because that's not God's will for your life. God's will is that you would know his manna and that you would know what it is to drink of the sustenance of living water that flows from the rock of Calvary. That is your very foundation that you stand on. It's your life. I am so excited about what God's doing this year. I can't stand it anymore. I'm getting excited. The enemy came in this past month and tried to destroy my whole life. And everything couldn't get me, so he ran for my kids. I got a 17-year-old right now who thinks he's God's gift to woman. And he is. He's gorgeous. It's incredible. I always used to listen to my dad say, Robin, you have enlarged my faith because of the things I'd say and do. And I never understood until I got married and had children. But let me tell you, through everything, it wasn't just the kids, it's everything. The devil tried everything. He's not that powerful, but there were things that happened. I don't see demons on everything. I believe that we give the devil as much leash as he has. I honestly do. But I know that I know that I know that the Spirit of God told me this week, he said, Robin, and I've heard it 100 times, but it just seemed to settle in my spirit. He said, you are victorious. You are victorious, that you are walking in a place where I've called you to walk. And no matter what it looks like round about you, You are victorious. You can't imagine how victorious you are. My favorite saying is, faith will lead you where reason cannot walk. And I am walking. In 2 years, I've gone to 11 states and 2 continents, 3 if you count America. And not one of the who's who in the religious zoo has got me a meeting. Nobody. It's been God from start. I'm honest. Now, Lois just, I mean, it's just been work. It's like all of a sudden, nobody. Nobody. It's just been incredible. And people, they're saying, honest. Well, how's she doing it? Well, what's she doing? I'm being obedient to the voice of God. I'm walking through walls that no man can hold up in front of me. I'm going where the Spirit of God has prepared the walk for me, the place for me. I'm walking in high places because I'm a joint heir with the Most High God. I'm walking in my blessings because God said they're my blessings. I'll not look to men, but I will look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is an oasis you're sitting in right now, and you're the watering hole. Oh, you're the watering hole. And you got a few palm trees right now. But wait till you see what you're getting ready to get. Let me tell you something. The coconuts that have the milk in it aren't even all. God, you haven't seen how many that's going to be harvested in this place. God's going to bring oracles through here like you've never seen. When they told me about this place, I thought, I didn't know where I was going. I thought the Woodlands. I didn't even know. I have no clue. People tell me things. Honest, I have no clue where I'm going to be next. I honestly, when this lady called me last year to West Houston, I didn't even know what West Houston was. She kept saying, well, honey, you need to stay with our vice president. And I said, I don't want to stay over there. I had no clue. She said, well, it's at the Houston Country Club. I didn't know what the Houston Country Club was. I didn't care what the Houston Country Club was. I've been around all that stuff. It ain't worth it. You can't take it with you. I mean, it's blessings from God, but I've been there when I've watched my father pacing the floor saying, thank you, Jesus. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And God, if you have to give me cattle, I'll take them to meet this need. You just bring them in. And I've been there the next day when the man's walked into the restaurant and said, oh, I've got problems. Oh, do I have problems? I'll never forget. And I can give you the man's phone number. And Terry Sullivan told my dad, I'll give you problems he had. And I've been there when my father said, well, tell me what your problem is. I know the problem solver. And Terry said, well, 3 days ago I got this herd of cattle in from Wyoming. And they've been jumping the fence like wild deer. And I got to get rid of them. I'll give them to the first person to take them. I've been up all night for 3 nights trying to herd them in. Isn't it great? You never know how God's going to do it. And my daddy said, will you take him to market? He said, I'll take him to market, Brother Tom. He said, well, you take him to market and you sell him and bring me the money. He said, because I've been praying all night for this need in Africa. And if you bring, and the guy comes to him and he said, oh, I want to apologize, Brother Tom. I want to apologize because I didn't get as much money as I thought I was going to get. My father said, how much money did you get? And he told him, he said, well, look at my hand. That's the amount I told God I needed to meet the need in Africa. And it was the exact amount. See, God is the God who brings in the sustenance when it seemed like there's nothing that can bring it in. He is the wind. He is the fire. He is the anointing. He empowers. It's not you. It's God. But what he's crying out for you is that all contention goes. That don't get caught up in yourself. Don't get caught up in your own ministry. Don't get caught up, well, I can't do it this way and I can't do it that way. But get caught up in leaning on the everlasting arms and loving him with all your heart and allowing him to bring forth the fruit of his character from within you as you've never seen it before. And you will be amazed of the person that you will become. Because there's more than salvation. There's more. And I got so mad after I got hit in Rodney Howard Brown's meetings. Because, and I call it hit. I got hit upside the head with the Holy Ghost 2x4. I got hit. And when I tell you, my brother says, and my sister said, they were there for 3 months, and they said, if anybody's life was changing, these means it was Robin's life. Because I knew. I knew. I would lay on the bed and thought I was elevated off the bed because of the anointing. Have you ever felt the anointing like that? The sweet anointing. And he's coming in power. And he's coming in might. He's bringing his church into his heavenly sight. And it's so wonderful. Shake those round about you with the word of God he's placed within you. Don't allow all the words that you hear just to lay dormant in your spirit. They're germinating. In everything I went through, I didn't realize until I've stepped out this year that it was seasons. There were seasons that the devil took me through some stuff and allowed me to be distracted. He robbed me of some stuff. But God has been restoring it sevenfold. Every time I turn around, there's something new going on. I just went to South Africa for the first time in 20 years. And it was incredible. I said, God, I want to go into the poorest black areas that my father went into. I want to go where he went. I don't want to go to the big churches. The big churches don't even know about me. But get this. I get on that plane, that wonderful plane that has a bubble on top, two stories, and they put me in the bubble. I tell the steward all about God. There's about 50 people up there, and they can't but hear me because there's an echo in the bubble. And I'm telling them about God, and the steward said, well, who is your father? And I said, his name is Robert Tom. He wrote a book called The New Wine Is Better. It's the best book you ever read. I brought some if you want. Some $6 a piece. So my father, the guy says, well, I've read that book. 20 years I haven't been to South Africa. My father's been dead for 20 years, and the steward that God has to come and wait on me, he has read my father's book. So he starts getting all excited. He starts bringing me everything I've ever missed since I've been away from Africa. Aero bars, appetizer, all this foods that I hadn't seen in years. He says, he's just bringing it. Oh, you got to taste this, and this is something new we're doing in South Africa now. And I was treated like royalty because I am royalty, see? I am. I'm a man. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing. So I was sitting there, and this lady in the corner says, well, let me ask you something. What church are you speaking at in Africa? Where are you going to go speak? I didn't even have any churches. I just knew God said go. Isn't that great? Faith will lead you where reason cannot work. And I'm not walking in no wisdom. I knew that the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God ignites your spirit, you got to go. It's like your pants caught on caught on fire, and you got to put it out. You got to go. And so here I was, and the girl says, why aren't you coming to my church? I said, well, who's your church? She said, Rhema. Rhema Coley's the pastor. Well, I just looked at her. You know who Rhema Coley is? Hey, it's Rhema. It's like going to Hagen's church or somebody. So I give her my card. I said, here's my card. You tell Rhema Coley that this mighty woman of God is coming to Africa. You just tell him that, and you just tell him to call me. And I gave him my number where I was staying. 2 days later, I get a call. He could appreciate this because you don't do this. There's this thing they have in the ministry where you're supposed to network. And if you're a woman, you're supposed to be very quiet, know your place. And I can't keep quiet because God's put a word within me. I can't be still. I can't be silent. I've got to speak it out. And so I'm not finding too much favor in the old boys club and the religious zoo out there. But when the Spirit of God sends me into their church, they're like, oh, my God. And then their wives go, well, she's pretty overpowering for a woman, isn't she? Oh, I scare the wives. And then the men go, you know, it's so good that you came to our church because it's important that our women see that God can use a woman. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then I go into churches where my brother just was and got $500 3 weeks before, and they give you $200 because you're a woman. You can't imagine. And I thank God because it's not by might and it's not by power. It's by His Spirit. He brings in the rain. He brings in the manna when I need it. He opens the doors where I'm supposed to go. He shines His face upon me when it seems like darkness tries to overwhelm me. And He restores my soul continuously as I walk in His Spirit. Because you see, men will always disappoint you. Things round about you will always disillusion you. But when you get into the vision and the anointing that God has placed within you, you cannot fail because He's appointed you. It is an hour with those that have hearkened to the voice of God need to let that which has been germinated in their spirit be birthed forth and come forth, because you are an oracle for God, each and every one of you. You have people round about you right now that are hungering for Christ, and they don't even know what they're hungering for, and they're so miserable, and you have within you the bread of life to give unto them and speak it. So I tell you, O daughters and sons of Zion, let your spirits arise and speak forth the word that the Spirit of God has placed within you. I was in Africa for 10 days and 7 churches opened up. It was great. It was great. And my sister-in-law says to my brother, I don't know what Robin's coming here for. She doesn't even have a church. And my other sister-in-law says, I don't know about Robin. All I know is something's going on in her life and God just opens the doors. Don't worry about her. Ooh, it's raining. It's the hour, folks. It's the hour, and it's all yours. The Spirit of God is passing out gifts. He's passing out gifts. Ministries birthing like that. The Spirit of God, oh, it is a flaming light, igniting the hearts of those who will hear, have an ear and hear. When I lay on that floor in Rodney Howard Brown's meeting for the first time, you know what happened to me laying on that floor? My eyes were opened into the spiritual eyes. The scales were taken off my eyes and I saw into the realms. My ears could hear the voice of God. My spirit became like honey and I knew. In other words, I had a revelation of the glory. Last year, an 11-year-old boy in a meeting that I was in got up and testified. 11 years old. He said, I asked God for more. 11 years old. And he said, the Lord said to tell my people that I'm sending forth a hurricane of my glory. It's pouring down. And he said, when that hurricane goes forth, out of it will spin tornadoes that will suck people into my presence. I am so drunk. And I don't even know where I'm going to be next week. I just know where I'm going to be too. I don't know. I was supposed to be in Connecticut and some man canceled me because he's involved with a building program. What is it we are doing in the ministry but building up the body of Christ? I mean, tell me. I heard Lois Godwin told me this joke last night, I got to tell you. And then we're going to get into some other stuff. But she told me this joke about this rich man. I'm sure you heard it. He wanted to take everything with him. He couldn't stand to leave all his possessions behind, so he liquidated everything and put it in gold bullion blocks, like bricks. And he got to heaven, and St. Peter opened his suitcase, and he says, oh, good, you brought pavement with you. Isn't that good? The gold, the streets are lined with gold. Oh, the wonderful thing about what I'm doing right now is I don't have to go to heaven to have the glory of God. I don't have to go to heaven to walk on streets of gold because I'm walking in the glory. I'm walking in the streets. I'm walking it. Isn't that incredible? I minister differently. I told you I wasn't Earl Grey. I'm tired of Earl Grey. I've been in the Earl Grey churches. And you know, I don't like Earl Grey. Oh, I'm very strong. My husband said he married me because I was strong like 1 or 2 bulls. You missed it. Don't worry, it wasn't a God moment. Now, I could have an altar call. But I'll tell you this right now, I'm very different. I believe in altar calls. But I think what I've spoken tonight, and I know what I've spoken tonight, is an altar call to your spirit. It's a rest of your spirit that you will look inside your heart and say, God, if there's anything that's been a failure, anything I've done, anything, God, any sin within me, Lord, I repent right now. Because you see, it's the Holy Spirit right now that's pouring down even upon thee. And he's speaking to your heart and he's speaking to you even now. And he's saying, I told you the vision. I've given unto you, get ready now. Because you see, you're getting ready to plow. You're getting ready to plow. The other night I saw people digging up graves. Now you go in a Baptist church, say you saw people digging up graves, they're going to have a fit. They're going, where's this woman at? But I saw us digging up the dead and speaking in the life of Jesus into them. It's the year of salvation.